I am live in Mobile Podcast Command, about 35 miles south of the Chicagoland area at my friend Steve's farm. A more pretentious way of saying where I am would be to say that I'm at the forward operating base for Mobile Podcast Command for central and southern and northeastern state operations. We're just hanging around eating pizza and drinking coffee and talking and having a good time and trying to figure out what to do to Mobile Podcast Command next. Okay. This podcast is near and dear to my heart, podcast 881, the Bob Davis Podcast, and I'm going to spend a little time at the beginning explaining why. My friend John Holland, who is a celebrated author and commentator and a one-time candidate for president, very short-lived candidate for president of the United States, John Holland. John and I, and whenever I go through Chattanooga, I visit with John. First of all, let me just say, John was really instrumental in the sense that he said, I'm buying your new tires for Mobile Podcast Command. So he put two new steering tires on the front of this vehicle, and I am really indebted to him for doing that. If you want to make a donation to Mobile Podcast Command, you can do it by going to the bobdavispodcast.com and clicking on the big yellow donate button. Click that. That goes to PayPal, and you can donate $5 or whatever you want to the effort. I appreciate Wayne Nelson and others for donating to Mobile Podcast Command. But anyway, I digress. There is something in Chattanooga that I find fascinating, and this is, for lack of knowing the exact title, the Museum of Top 40 Radio and Hall of Fame in Chattanooga. It's inside a radio station, WFLI, and John Holland and I went there, and I want to say a couple things about this, because I'm going to tell the story with a montage. If you have never worked in radio, you might be a little disoriented trying to figure out where we are and what we're doing. Basically, it's a museum. When I often go to museums, I just record ambiently and then put it all together in kind of a montage, which I'm doing in this podcast for this museum. But it's also an operating radio station. And the focus of this podcast is something called Top 40 Radio. So for radio people, there are bits and pieces of this that you will feel will not tell the full story. The history of Top 40 Radio, particularly the programming of radio stations, is a story that is yet to be told. It is a nomenclature, it is a lexicon, it is an experience that has not been properly curated, as you would find at a museum of, let's say, the history of country music in Bristol, Virginia, which is a Smithsonian museum, or one of the Smithsonian museums in the history of flight. This is a largely unknown and undocumented and unwritten piece of American history, the history of Top 40 Radio in small and large markets all over the country. And so they've attempted to put this together in kind of a museum with this radio station that is literally the radio station that time forgot. You walk in and it's 1960 in this radio station, and it's really cool. But I just want to say for radio people, it's not going to tell the full story. Radio people can be very argumentative, and they're going to say, what about this? What about that? You know, what about this guy, and what about that guy? You didn't tell the full story, blah, 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 blah. That's another time in another podcast. I don't have enough time to tell the full story. So that's my little disclaimer for this podcast. Nonetheless, I had a great time going through WFLI in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and going to the Top 40 Hall of Fame and Museum, which is just getting its legs underneath it. And I think everybody should go and visit. And I think radio people in particular should contribute and help this project, because it is fascinating to those of us who have spent any time in radio. Want to thank Whitetail Builders for being a digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts.com. If you are thinking about putting an addition on your house or fixing up your basement so you can get your teenagers downstairs or a new kitchen, any additions to your house have to have some planning. And so this is the time to call Whitetail Builders of Andover. They are great. I can easily recommend them because I know that Randy Graybaugh at Whitetail will be with you every step of the way and pays close attention to the details, which is so important. Call Randy personally at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. You're going to love the results. And of course, a little bit later on in the podcast, I'll be telling you about Ryan Plumbing and Heating. These are the guys you want to call when the pipes freeze, when the heating doesn't work, when the toilets won't flush, because all this stuff happens in winter, right? Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. There was a time in the early to mid-60s when every town, little and big, had their top 40 rock station or stations. I grew up in Chicago. For us, it was WLS and WCFL. If you were a little older, then you had to listen to WJJD or maybe WIND. Big city people find it easy to dismiss small towns. They always have, and this is true with radio as well. So here in the mid-south to the Southern Atlantic, something called Top 40 Radio flourished in the mid-50s throughout the 1960s, as it did all across the country. And there was a lot of great local radio stations in this region that, by Chicago and New York standards, would pale in contrast. Then again, not many remember the great Top 40 radio stations in those big markets either, as you'll see in this podcast, or as I should say, you'll hear. This is really a forgotten area in music and broadcast history for the most part, and really in U.S. history for the most part. If you think about what existed in the late 50s in this country, in the early 60s, as well as the early to mid 70s, there was no internet, there was no social media, there was no way for a large and growing population of people to communicate, a burgeoning population, the baby boom population. The only way that they were to communicate was through radio, through the music, the experience of the music. And this came through Top 40 Radio, and generally speaking, in the early part of the 1960s through the 60s up until the early 70s and even to the late 70s in smaller markets, it was AM Top 40 Radio. And of course, during this period of time, radio boomed, and especially local radio boomed. These radio stations, again, might appear small by today's standards, but they were so profitable, that profit formed a base for the owners to create even larger companies, some of them still around as much larger companies today. So John Holland and I visit a unique radio station and market in Tennessee today for this podcast, WFLI in Chattanooga. The station's founder, Billy Benz, cobbled together the station's clearance for its frequency, built it with used equipment, and in the end, this was enough for him to build a small empire of radio and TV stations in this region. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that this is the time of year when heating goes down and it's a disaster. If you're on vacation, if you're out in the country like I am right now, and fortunately it's not below zero, it's cold, but it's still not dangerously below zero. If you're on vacation and you're down on the Caribbean islands and you're enjoying the sunshine and your furnace quits and your pipes freeze, you don't want to see the inside of that house. Greg Ryan's told me it's like worse than a fire. So this is why you want to have everything checked, particularly your furnace if you haven't done that, and get things that are weak taken care of so that your furnace doesn't quit while you're on vacation to some warmer climate. Because when it comes to keeping all of your systems running right, especially these days because they are complex, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And the same goes for your business. When you want reliable service, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations in St. Paul and Frogtown. And of course, they go metro-wide from St. Paul all across the Minneapolis and St. Paul metro. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Just yank the printer out of my little case here that I keep in Mobile Podcast Command. It's a boat anchor. I take it with me. And of course, many people hate their printers. Why? Because they hate paying for those print cartridges. I have a solution to that. Cartridge World in Maple Grove, 30% off of those print cartridges compared to those horrible big box stores. 763-420-6632. Ask for Jason. They can take care of you all across the country. And of course, here in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway, and also Rose. Click on the banner at the top of the page at bobdavispodcast.com that says Cartridge World, and that will give you all the details. And good luck with your print cartridges. So I put this together as kind of a montage as we walk through the station, and There's one little quick point that I have to make. You're going to hear references to somebody named Storrs and a guy named Gordon McClendon. That's Todd Storrs and Gordon McClendon, who are generally accredited as being the people that kind of created Top 40 Radio. Would have been in the late 50s and early 60s. And you'll hear why and how they did it and what provoked Todd Storrs to start doing this. And Storrs is unique because he came from a wealthy family, had a radio station in his house, later sold that station for almost $1 million, which is an unheard of sum in those days. So he was quite successful and quite innovative as a programmer and the first Top 40 programmer. And it's important to make that point because they show us a little video in the museum, and it does a pretty good job, but it's a long video, and so I had to telescope it. And so we really didn't get the full story on Todd Storrs, who is the guy that started Top 40 Radio. And then Gordon McClendon visited with Storrs. He was a businessman, and he's also responsible for taking it one step further, which included stunting and fast talking DJs and so forth, as you'll hear. But Gordon McClendon was a giant, and then from McClendon and Storrs, all of the rest of the history of Top 40 Radio has followed, which I don't have time to get into in this podcast. One more thing, radio people are going to say when we get to the little video that the museum did on the history of Top 40 Radio, why didn't you take a line feed? So I wanted to get the ambience of the room and the place, so I didn't take a line feed from their little video. So you just have to live with that. It's also kind of the experience of how we heard Top 40 Radio when we get to the jingles and the music and so forth. So here we go. And I'll tell you again, this place is really, really unique. You walk through the doors and it is like the 1960s. So without further ado, let's just get into our experience, John Holland and I, when we visited the radio station, met the guys on the air, walked through the museum, and heard some pretty good stories. Well, we're on our way to WFLI, which is the home of an actual working radio station. What's the frequency?
1070.
1070, WFLI, Chattanooga. And it's a legendary radio station here in town, so that's why it's on in a residential area, because all legendary radio stations in every market in the United States were in residential areas at one time, usually. Until the big companies bought them all and moved into buildings with elevators. That's the way it works. Anyway, we're in the midst, in the middle of a one-hour opportunity to come down here while we wait to get the tires put on the truck that John is buying. Thank you very much. And we're on our way to WFLI. What makes this station unique is it is... also the home of, what did you call it, the Top 40?
The Top 40 Radio Hall of Fame Museum.
So,
it's a working title.
There's some kind of tower. That's it right there.
That's it.
Oh, this is great. I got to get a picture of this before I get that. This is a classic brick residential radio station with the guys in the front yard. And by the way, it's not a one-tower array. It's a four-tower array.
Sorry, my bad.
That's an unforgivable.
I've just driven by here, and it's got an official civil defense generator, too.
Fabulous. I'd love to have one of those. Whoops. The big what?
Jet fly.
Oh, they called it jet fly. That's where you got that.
That's where I got that from.
So this AM went on the air. Was it the FM that went on the air in 62 or the AM?
The AM in 1961.
Wow, that's relatively late for
a 50,000-watt radio station. You know, with
if Randy Michaels is listening, he'll tell you without even thinking about it.
Oh, God.
When it went on the air, when the FM went on there, and who the AM is actually directionally protecting at night. So.
National Top 40 Hall of Fame Radio Museum.
This is great. It even smells like a radio station.
It does smell like a
radio
station.
I love
that. Hi, are we in the National Top 40 Hall of Fame Radio Museum?
That's it.
Can you show us, or are you on the air?
Oh, no, I can show you. That's fine.
Cool.
What's your name?
My name's Aaron.
Eric?
Aaron.
Aaron. Bob Davis. I'm doing a podcast.
I'm Sean Holland. How are you?
Pretty good. Follow me. I'll show you guys the room.
Thanks.
Oh, we're actually coming back here. Okay, this is amazing. Here.
Oh my God.
So this is a 1939 Western Electric transmitter.
So this was the original AM, or did you just get this?
Oh, this has been here since 1960.
Wow.
Water cooled.
Water cooled. That's a good idea around electricity.
It actually used to belong to a station up in Washington, D.C.
What station?
WTPO, I think.
Oh, T-O-P. AM.
Yeah. And they sold it to Mr. Benz, who is the founder of WFLI. And they took it all apart and put it on a truck, hauled it down here, and Mr. Benz put it all back together.
It's, you know, it's interesting because it seems like it was pretty late to go on the air as a new AM at that time.
61, yeah.
Right. Well, he
found it. Or
yeah, FM was still a bit of a wasteland back in those days. And, you know, I'm not sure. I know WDF and WDOD were on the air in Chattanooga. I'm not sure who else was.
GOW was, too.
WGOW. And
they were all AM at that point in time.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. FM was still pretty much of a wasteland.
Is this a 50 kilowatt transmitter?
Yes.
So that's why it's so big. Wow.
Right.
So this station, it's interesting because it's 1070, 50 kilowatt. What's the power at night? 2,500 or 1,000?
1,000.
Who do you protect at 1070?
There are several 1070s
around.
And Mr. Benz was the station founder. He laid all this out. They say he was pretty much an engineering genius, and he laid the towers out. And I'll show you in a second. He laid the towers out in such a way that we're on the west side of the city, so they point back towards the east.
Right.
And the way he's got the towers laid out, my understanding is if he moved one of those towers an inch in either direction, it wouldn't work to get between all the other 1070s that are around. There's one in Birmingham, I think, is the closest one.
Okay.
That's fascinating. So the station's been in this building since day one.
Right. This building was actually designed and built by Mr. Benz's father, who was an architect.
This is the Benz brothers?
Yes.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Billy Benz was the father.
I've never met Billy Benz. I've met Ying Benz before.
She was here earlier today, actually.
Oh, okay.
You go across the hall there. Today and get up to 40% off select appliance special values like a Samsung.
How you doing?
All right. Yeah.
This is Tennessee State Hall of Fame broadcaster Gene Lovin.
Oh, Gene Bob Davis.
Hi.
Glad to meet you. I'm doing a podcast.
Are you doing a podcast?
Yeah.
John
right.
Holland, how are you?
Glad to meet you guys. Yes.
What is this, a president? This board?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's
sort of a hybrid.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that board's been there since the mid-70s?
Yeah, this one from the mid-70s. The one in there probably...
The original board is in here.
Yeah.
So this was the one that was originally in the early 60s?
Yes, this is the 61 board.
Wow.
As you can see.
Same one in the production studio.
It's all... Yeah. Tubes and point-to-point wiring.
Does this one still work?
Yes. It's only about 60 years old now, so.
I just think it's great that they still, I mean, the acoustic, everything is original.
Yeah.
Well, I've worked here in the late 60s, 68, 69 through 72 or 3, somewhere like that. Anyway, it's the same as it was when I was here then.
That's pretty cool.
It hasn't changed anything.
Of course, the coffee and cigarettes.
Well, I mean, everything else, yeah. There's some difference.
That's embedded.
That's it, yeah. That's true.
That's how you know you're in radio.
Yeah, I spent the first 10 minutes on the air cleaning ashtrays and blowing cigarette ashes away. But, yeah, that was a different time, for sure.
Yeah. I thought you were with Bay Hackle.
I was with Bay Hackle for a long time.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked over there with James and Luther.
Okay.
In the mornings for a long time.
Okay, that's because yeah. I knew the name. I don't think I'd ever met you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know you had left there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd left there and then ended up back over at KZ106 and talk radio for a while and left there to come back here because.
Quite frankly, this is probably a lot more fun than working for QMUless.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The emphasis on less.
Yes. Exactly.
Less of everything.
Yeah. The window at that
store. There's still more to see.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because, I mean, like I said, all this stuff's been here for 50, 60 years, and it all still works, but they don't really need it because you don't need, you know, radios change a lot, of course.
Right, sure.
And so the owners got to thinking about it, and they're like, well, we have this piece of property, and we'll turn it into a museum. So here we are.
And this is the only Top 40 radio museum in the country.
Yes. Yeah, this is actually also the first building in Chattanooga that was specifically built and designed to be a radio station.
And this is the Hall of Fame.
This is the Hall of Fame.
This is great.
These are our three inductees. We actually just opened voting this morning on next year's inductees, which we're hoping to get inducted by March.
So you got Dick Clark, you got Wolfman Jack, and you got Casey Kasem.
Right. Those are kind of, you know, the guineas.
The go-to.
And Bob Davis will be the next one.
No, I'm not sure Bob's going to make it. Not before Larry.
Not
Lucia.
Before John Hall.
I think our next inductees are probably going to be, based on early voting, it's probably going to be Larry Lujack, Dan Ingram, and probably...
John Landecker.
You guys want to watch the video?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
The story goes that Storrs and a friend were drinking, beer we presume, in a bar when he began to notice that customers played the same songs on the jukebox over and over. Storrs took the idea and turned it into a radio format. Just a few songs played over and over, adding a fast-talking DJ, contests, jingles, and stunts. Storrs paid just $75,000 for KOWH and sold it 8 years later for $822,000. Dallas businessman Gordon McClendon became Top 40's second father. After visiting Storrs in Omaha, he perfected the format for all his stations. By 1960, AM radio feared television, but Top 40 saved AM. By 1960, though, Top 40 was everywhere. Big cities as well as smaller towns. Not surprisingly, the Big Apple had the big dog with New York 77 WABC.
WABC, Super Hit 1. And once again, stepping into the spotlight. Oh! Hot, isn't it? Frank Sinatra to sing Strangers in the Night.
Strangers in the Night.
Here with you on WABC.
WABC.
Hey, Mr. American Motors Rambler dealer. You the guy who hits the gong.
Meet the Mind Changers.
Chicago has often played second banana to New York City. But when it came to Top 40 radio, WLS had some of the biggest DJs, and WLS had a history. Founded by Sears Roebuck, an air presence second to none.
The Loop. Lakeshore Drive. Northside, Westside, Southside in Chicago.
Sound of Chicagoland 65 on the Dex Card Show.
Hi again, everybody. This is Dex Card, the crew cat fell in the first row. Back again with you as we continue the countdown in the Silver Dollar Survey.
Hi, this is Chuck Buell. This year, the Big 89 brings in the new year with a big on-the-air New Year's Eve party starting at 6 p.m. Tuesday night, New Year's Eve. Turn WLS on at your party and count down the seconds to 1969.
We're not surprised that California is sunnier, funner, flashier, and Top 40 radio was no exception.
93 KHJ!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the real Don Steele.
KHJ Los Angeles.
Hello, this is the real Don Steele. Join me on Boss Radio from 3 to 6 p.m.
The real Don Steele.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Tuna.
KHJ Los Angeles.
91 in Los Angeles. I see your sunburn too. Good morning.
We got to close it out. That's it for the Wolfman Jack Show for tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough battle to figure out whether the Todd Storrs stations or the Gordon McClendon stations were the standouts.
WQAM! Hello, the beginning of a great WQAM flashback million-dollar musical weekend.
Every other record, of course, is an oldie in the 560 spot on you now. Every other record tonight, starting with our very next flashback, which will be coming up after Pat Clark sings The Sign of Our Times, will be an instant oldie. So stand by. If you have an old-timer you haven't heard in a long while, give us a call.
Broadcasting, WQAM, Miami, Florida.
These stations were rock stations, but by our standards, they sound very adult contemporary, you know. And so people don't realize Strangers in the Night, you know, as a Top 40 rock.
Pop it, yeah.
You know?
Now, Mr. Benz also owned a piece of the Big 8.
If you lived in the Southeast in the 60s or 70s or went to the Florida beaches, you knew about the Big Ape in Jacksonville.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but it must have used the wrong car. It's in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
Market, and it wasn't even close. Evan, if he was here, he could show you those old rating books. I'm not 100% sure where they are.
Mr. Benz had a bit of a temper.
That's a bullet hole.
There's actually, I'll show you the other two.
So, yes, that's why we voted no on the union. Gunfire.
Here.
So what, he just shoot into the ceiling? Or?
Okay. Mr. Benz had a temper, apparently, from what I understand.
Well, better than shooting into an employee.
He wanted his son Michael to know that he was serious about whatever he was angry about. And so he fired some gunshots into the air, and Michael could hear it, so he knew that it's whatever. That's the story. I wasn't here when it happened.
Hey, he owned the place. He can shoot the place up if he wants.
More than one, because those are 45 holes, and the other hole in the floor in there is a 32 hole.
Yeah.
So.
Well, whatever gun you got, you can get your hands on at the point. At that point. Well, that is great.
Yep, that's our little museum.
Well, thank you so much. That was really great.
WFLI 97.7 FM, 1070 AM, The Legend, playing the best music and more of it every hour. Got a little Mac attack right now. This is Fleetwood Mac on WFLI.
Hit it perfectly, too, I might add.
Answer that request line.
I can talk to the folks.
Don't let those request lines ring without answering them.
We're partying now.
Where's that phone off?
Thank you.
Wow. Good to meet you guys.
The bigger picture here is this thing called Top 40, a musical trend of hit music from the 1950s through the mid-70s. There's a couple of different movies about this kind of thing, but mainly this was featured on AM radio stations in the big and small cities. Now, the radio side of this history is largely uncharted, undocumented, and it's a story untold outside of radio. And it's important to point that out. Here's my takeaway. People listened on transistor radios, car radios, tabletop sets, local radio stations. Of course, top 40 radio stations had varying degrees of perfection in terms of executing the format, so to speak, but this was all a local radio phenomenon. Today, we are so focused on national, international, internet, social media, and so forth. None of that existed during that period of time. I worked at a lot of radio stations just like WFLI in Chattanooga. You know, they were in the suburban areas, they were in residential areas, and you'd walk in and you'd smell the stale coffee and the cigarette smoke as soon as you walked through the door, which is a smell that takes me home. If you worked in radio in the 1960s and 70s, you know that smell. What they have done at this place, WFLI, with the creation of the Top 40 Radio Hall of Fame and Museum, is they have started something. It is a very rich history. It's an American history. Lots of people working at these kinds of radio stations in various positions over the years. Some stayed in the business, some moved on. If they hear this podcast, they're going to remember too. It is the movie that has not yet been made. Every time I go into a radio station, I remember really how much fun radio used to be. And I had forgotten how much fun it was to smell those smells and see the equipment and feel the feeling. So thank you for that, guys. The keepers of this radio station are in their mid-40s or mid-60s or 70s today, and I would hazard a guess that they are having just as much fun these days as they did when they worked there, as much fun as we did walking through the radio station. And it doesn't have to be WFLI. It could be any other station or any other place just like it when these guys were in their late teens and 20s or even in their early teens, because most of us got in radio really early. If you're in radio, you understand that feeling of wanting to get to the bigger markets, right? Ambition. Some of the people around here went to the big city, which for them was Nashville or Memphis. My friend John Holland said the thing about people in this part of the country, so Tennessee, North Carolina, Southern Virginia, and so forth, they might go to the big city, but they'd always come back to Chattanooga, home. That's an interesting thing. A guy could make a living in radio, take a shot, go to Memphis for a while, and they could come back home and be happy working at the local radio station and make a living. And today, that's gone forever. when you consider the circumstances that created the top 40 radio phenomenon in this country and made radio in general a phenomenon, you come to the conclusion that there are a few moments in history about which you can say that will never happen again. But I can assure you, the experience of AM Top 40 Radio, whether it's Chicago or Chattanooga, Tennessee, the music, the social and demographic forces that fueled it, and really the reaction of the audience to it, will never happen again. Thanks again to DepoStar for digitally sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast as well. Remember, lots of companies bringing their manufacturing back to the U.S. You don't have to be a U.S. company to be thinking about doing that. If this is you and you need American manufacturing par excellence, you need DepoStar, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts and subscribing. Right now, there's two things I want you to do. First of all, I want you to subscribe to the Bob Davis podcast at iTunes or off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I do appreciate the sharing of the posts that I put on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. It'd be RTs of these individual podcasts rather than following so much. But I also would love it if you liked my Facebook page, the Bob Davis podcasts on Facebook. And also, I really appreciate the donations. I'll give you a complete list a little bit later on for many things that this vehicle needs, especially fuel, at thebobdavispodcast.com. Check out the site, thebobdavispodcast.com, because we have streaming audio. You can subscribe to the RSS feed right off the page, and it also redirects for iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn and Spotify, which I recommend for Android devices. All right, thanks for listening to podcast 881, the Bob Davis Podcasts in Chattanooga, at the Museum of Top 40 Radio History and the Hall of Fame there. And thanks to, let me grab his card because I do really want to thank Aaron. I want to thank Aaron McNeese, who is handling the National Top 40 Hall of Fame and Radio Museum in Chattanooga. It is really worth, if you love radio, if you've worked in radio, really stop by and see these guys because they're on the air too. So you'll get to go into the studio and see all the stuff that we saw. Thanks, Aaron. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. 881.